the story somewhere. Yeah, actually, just I can take the story one. Just try there first. Just a funny little twist to this scene I was thinking of when. I mean, I want this little surrealistic twist. And I'm inspired by Terry Gilliam because I'm looking at a documentary about him. But we are, I mean, alike, I would say. It's much my style, and the Monty Python and all that. So here we got, well, pretty early in our story, it seems, our P.O., old man, has turned 70, and he's there with a classmate, old from when they were 18. And then after he walks out on the street, walks down the walking street, and then looks in the toy store window, and there he, well, I already did that, right? And then he turns 10, and he goes in, buys that monster, and I'm testing the story, so I may repeat myself, but he buys that Frankenstein. And the lady there says this, because he wants paint. And for the face, and it should be that paint that shines in the dark, glows in the dark. And yeah, he goes home. Sits there painting, listens to that pop music that he just discovered. Mom there, dad there, smoking a cigarette. Well, they're just sitting in the big room there, so he just says hi or something. Mom says something about make your bed. And he just orders some time to go to bed. Anyway, throws on a cloth and builds his Frankenstein, paints that face. Yeah. Ha. Puts him on the shelf. Turns on the light. Turns off the light. And lies there. Yeah. A little bit moonlight coming in on his face. Falls asleep, drifts off into some dream world. Wakes up, and then we show from the behind the face of the Frankenstein's monster that he's shining in the darkness in a very eerie way, actually. Our peer didn't really count on that, but we can do it this way. We can actually show it, I think. and we see his wide open, fearful eyes there in the back. turns in the face down into the pillow, and finally he has to go up and put some cloth over that thing. Yeah. So every night he does that. What's the use of glowing in the dark paint? Anyway, but now he's in this weird state of mind, and he has his magazine called Shock lying there on the table, and he sees that one there in the moonlight with a monster face. I remember how it looked like. I can probably find it again, because this actually all this happened almost exactly as I am describing it now. But then we can just go a little surreal, not by making the story, but just connecting another real story. So he finally falls asleep. And then which one shall we take? I mean, we could take the one with the model of the church. But then we're going really weird here, because that one originally is connected to him and his friend Leonard, or Leonard if we can call him, or whatever. He visited him in their old house, which looks a little spooky, and we can this is what I'm testing here. If we can just jump all of a sudden now somewhere here into Fair Lady storyline. So it's not anymore just him, because we started thinking that she is of his imagination, but now all of a sudden we are in his imagination, our old 70-year-old Pio, as he's imagining himself to be 10 years old in some kind of regression experience, who then falls asleep and is in a dream world somewhere far off. And all of a sudden we switch over to her, which now all of a sudden makes her and that skyscraper and all of that look more real, and we start thinking maybe she's the protagonist here, and this Pio, who then also enters as some kind of narrator, is some fantasy figure. First he made it sound like he narrates the story about her, so we could, if it doesn't just get completely bewildering. Play a little with that. See if it works. Because, let's say now, he falls asleep. Of course, one thing which is almost a little cliche, we could then have her waking up. Why not? It's a little Buñuel-ish. We could do a little Buñuel nod there. Well, she's just sitting somewhere. Whew, I had the weirdest daydream. But you know, I had this idea, and so that's just a short little statement to mystify us. But now we're in her story again, and this funny 70-year-old guy and the little boy, and they are just drifting away. But you know, it's we do have a foundational reality because he is, well, actually the one who makes this story about her. And he is a person there in the story as well, who happens to be the writer and director of it. So it depends on if you want to look it from inside the story or from outside of it. But the point here is of us playing around with fantasy and reality and dream and story and all that is to kind of plant that little doubt there in the minds and hearts of the audience that how real is this world anyway? We might question whether the story world we see on the screens and read in the books are real, or mythology, or just fantasy. And then we turn back to this world that we experience through our five senses, thinking it real, but then, well, it may even be a little disturbing and uneasy, queasy feeling when you start doubting the genuine, honest to God reality of this earthly realm. Something that way, and now what I just said could be a narrator somewhere, which then of course is that 70-year-old who is talking this right now. So, and we can even have him walking right here in his home, talking these words now, in the panel of the graphic novel that we are making. So, yeah, a little nod to Mr. Crumb, who sometimes appears in his own comics. Come on.